The National Broadcasting Company invites you to Showcase. NBC, in cooperation with the British Broadcasting Corporation, brings you another in its transcribed series of half-hour programs titled Showcase. In answer to your many requests, we present another of England's top-rated programs. Today on Showcase, we will hear an unusual tale, Mr. Ledbetter's Vacation by H.G. Wells.
Oh, good evening, good evening. Now, make yourself at home. You'll find deck chairs, the one.
This one?
Yes, yes. Not a bad hole, this, as boarding houses go. Where'd you come from, eh?
I arrived on the 5:52 from Tunbridge Wells.
Ever been here before?
No.
Well, you'll like it, I think. Hithergate-on-Sea is quiet, I grant you that. Quiet, but not dead quiet. Distinction with a difference, to coin a phrase. It's perfectly true that there is no P.R.O. party, but who wants a P.R.O. party?
No, who indeed?
Well, you wouldn't anyway. I mean, being a parson and all that kind of thing. Though I must say, some parsons are remarkably broad-minded about all kinds of things nowadays. Is your parish right in Tunbridge Wells, might one ask?
No, I am a schoolmaster. Though, as you very rightly surmise, I am also in holy orders. Have you been here long, sir?
Oh, not very, about a week. Come here regularly every year. Have done for years. Like the place. Like the front and the wooden groins, the fishing boats, and the way that path goes up over the cliff, you know. Oh, no, you don't, of course. But you will. And there's a very good little golf course here, too. And above all, it's a pretty place, yes, yes. Hithergate-on-Sea is a really pretty place.
Yes, quite so.
Purely by chance you came? I don't expect so, mark you, because Mrs. Partridge's boarders go about all over England recommending her. Go to Malvern Court at the end of the marina, they say, and you'll be well looked after.
Well, those are, curiously enough, the exact words my aunt used.
There you are, you see. It's Malvern Court every time for me. Hithergate-on-Sea wouldn't be the same place without Mrs. Partridge and her cooking. Oh, it's wonderful. Nourishing.
I don't think I saw you in the dining room at supper.
No. Just come in. Not often I miss a meal here, but I stayed so late at the golf club that I had a sandwich and a drink up there instead. Supper good, eh?
Excellent, yes.
Yes. Well, I had a bit of cold beef and some beetroot and of course, cheese. Gorgonzola, nice and ripe. Well, I'm going to have another little spot of whiskey, I think. I keep a bottle in this cupboard. You won't mention it to anyone, will you?
No, of course not.
You'll have a spot too, eh?
Well, I
can recommend this old ivy leaf brand. There's something extraordinarily mellow about it.
Well, I hardly ever... It's very kind of you, but...
Come, my dear fellow. A little one, just one finger, do you good.
Well, perhaps a very little one.
Yes.
That's quite enough. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Well, here's to crime.
I hardly think I'd care to drink to crime.
Oh, it's only a saying, you know, like any of these toasts.
Nevertheless.
Shall we drink to adventure and romance? I recollect that was my old father's favorite toast.
Certainly. Mm. To adventure and romance.
To adventure and romance. Not that there is any in these days.
Any what?
Adventure or romance?
Don't you think so?
Oh, of course not. Why, look at the way you can get about. There was a time when you could really be a traveller. You could go to places like China or India and not be heard of for years and years and come back loaded with ivory and rubies and silk garments and a black slave.
Yes.
And the tales you told. Dragons, sea serpents, harems. Oh, it was wonderful.
Yes. Not quite the same today.
Same? Nah, why, of course not. Today you pop into a travel agency, and then they fix things up so that you can go anywhere in the whole blinking world with perfect safety. Think of it in perfect safety.
Yes, it does.
It's a tragedy. Adventure is no more. What with steam, electricity, and petrol, real magic, that is the magic of the unknown, is finished. Pekin and Mandalay and the South Seas may be unknown to you and me. But they're perfectly well known to Messrs. Tompkins' agency, blast them. They've got a little man in a nasty little office in the main street in Pekin. And in the most mysterious corner of the most romantic isle in the South Seas, there is Messrs. Tompkins' beastly little office under a hula tree. Have another drink.
Hmm?
Yes, give me a glass.
Not too strong, old man.
Oh, do you good. What I always say is that a man ought to live dangerously. That's what I say.
Take your life in your hand, do you mean, Mr.
Crabtree's the name, old man.
Mr. Crabtree. Oh, thanks very much. A bit strong, eh?
Oh, nonsense. Take your life in your hand, you were saying.
Oh, was I? Oh, yes, so I was. That's what you mean, I expect.
That's what I mean, old man. By the way, what's your name? Reverend something, I suppose?
My name is Ledbetter.
Ah, well, here's the crime, Ledbetter, old chap.
Good health, Crabtree.
Well, no. And what's worse than anything else in these degenerate days is... Can you guess what?
Manners? The behavior of young people?
No. Advertisement. These posters, thrusting things under your nose and... shouting at you to buy their beastly product. It isn't decent. It isn't dignified.
No, it certainly isn't dignified. Not dignified.
Well, I ask you, if that's what so-called civilization has brought to us, what's it worth? Are we men, or are we creatures in
cotton wool?
Cotton wool, that's it. Have another small one, over.
Now, mind, I mean a small one, Mr. Crabtree.
Or, as I was saying, are we things in glass cases, told where to go? What to eat, what to wear, what to think, what to read. White lead better, wear better dead lead better. Oh, I say, that's funny. Dead better, lead better.
We ought to be lead better, or we'd be dead better.
Oh, excellent, my dear. Oh, that's really very good. Very, very good indeed.
Oh, no, not at all. But it's absolutely true what you say, Mr. Crabtree. Civilization is, as it were, cut down, gathered into bundles, and put in an oven and baked like the birds of the air.
I say, by Jove, old man, that's a very powerful metaphor you have there.
Oh.
A noble structure, baked and gathered into ovens. It's a very profound thought.
Gathered into a bundle, Crabtree. Hmm? A bundle?
Oh, sorry, my dear fellow. Sorry, the bundle.
You know, I feel what you've been saying very keenly. Very keenly indeed. It comes right to my door, as the saying is.
Oh, not your fault, old man. Not your fault that civilization has killed everything that made life worthwhile in the grand old days.
I know it's not my fault, Crabtree. But nevertheless, I feel it very keenly. That I should have been called upon to live such a very, very uneventful life.
Same for most of us.
Ah, but none so much as the pedagogue. How prosaic an existence. So stagnant, so colourless.
Secure. Methodical. Year in, year out.
What call does such a life even make for bravery?
Or for courage.
Quite.
Same thing, you know.
What?
Bravery and courage, old man.
Yes.
Think of those wonderful roving medieval days when Condottieri came thundering down hillsides and made the streets of some sleepy old town suddenly awake with shouts and the clash of swords.
Oh, I wish I'd lived in those days, you know. I sometimes fancy I was cut out for something a bit more dramatic, as it were. I know just what it felt like to fare out across the world on a steed, you know.
Oh, steed.
Yes, over hills and valleys. And before you knew where you were right in the thick of some desperate plot to rescue someone fresh from some appalling situation in a castle, on a lonely tower, or something like that. I could have done that. If only I hadn't been born in this banal century.
There's only one true adventurer left on Earth, and he's the burglar.
Ah.
Oh, yes, the common burglar. Think of his single-handed fight against the whole of the civilized world.
Yes, they do have some fun out of life, and about the only people who do. Just think how it must feel to crack a crib.
Just think.
I could do all that. I long to do it.
Oh, rot, old man. I know what you mean.
Only, I do not give way to my criminal impulses. No. My moral courage restrains me.
Yes, I can't see what you mean, old man. I feel like that myself. The lonely adventure. Oh. Do you know, Ledbetter, old man? I believe I must seek the arms of Morpheus to coin the phrase.
Oh, I shall go for a walk along the seafront for a quarter of an hour. You're quite sure you don't feel like a turn?
No, afraid not.
Awfully sorry, but I'll see you on your way.
Oh,
come
thank
on.
You, thank
you. Well, off you go, and if you'll permit a suggestion, I should go that way, towards the cliffs.
Right, I will. My word, what a wonderful moon.
Yes, lovely. Lovely moonlight night. Just right for the venture. Oh, gosh, I'm sleepy. Good night, there, Better Old Man.
Good night, Mr. Crabtree. Good night. A knife on the ocean waves. Ta 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 ti ti. A knife on the ocean waves. Ti 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 ti. Ti 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 ti. Afraid? Of course I'm not. Why, I could prove it. I could get into that house there and commit a burglary in blank. It'll take something to prove it, some sort of a truth. I know, a piece of soap. I could take a piece of soap. Take a piece of soap, just a tiny piece of soap, just a piece of soap. Oh, it wouldn't be difficult to get up into that balcony. Not with a bit of a run. No. One, two, three. Done it. I feel like a cat on the tile. Crime. Crime. Here's to crime. The whole house is empty. Perhaps the people are away. They'd scarcely be out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'll take my piece of soap and then farewell. Pop it in my pocket. Oh, that was the front door. Now, how am I to get out of this? Oh, goodness, he's coming upstairs. Oh, I ought to have gotten back onto the balcony. Oh, it's too late. Oh, my goodness. Under the table.
Oh, Lord, what a day. What a day. Now, let's see. Oh, 15, 16, 17. Who's that? Come out of that, you scoundrel. Come out, this side of the bed. I've got you covered.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Kneel. Hold up your hands. Dressed like a parson. Blessed if he isn't. What the deuce possessed you to come here tonight? What were you doing under my bed?
Oh, no doubt, sir, my appearance.
What the devil possessed you to get under my bed dressed up like a parson, eh?
I can quite understand that it must look...
What's that in your hand? Oh, no. Don't move an inch. Why, it's soap, isn't it?
Yes, it is soap from your washhand stand. If I might...
Soap? What the incredible thing.
If I might explain...
Now, don't bother. It's sure to be a lie. There's no time for explanations. Have you any mates?
If you would only allow me a few minutes, I could tell you...
If you start any soapy palaver, I'll shoot you. Have you any mates? Accomplices?
No.
Well, if that's a lie, you'll pay for it. Why the deuce didn't you floor me when I was coming upstairs?
No,
you won't get a chance now, anyway.
Excuse me. It is rather fatiguing holding my hands up like this.
All right, put them down.
Oh, thank you.
What to do with you, I don't exactly know. If I call in the police, I'm bust.
Oh.
If I tie you up and leave you, the thing may be out tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Sunday and Monday's a bank holiday. I've counted on 3 clear days. Shooting you's murder and hanging.
Yes.
And besides, it would bust the whole blooming thing. Hanged if I can think what to do.
Oh, will you permit me?
You gas as much as if you were a real parson. Blessed if you don't. Of all the burglars,
will you permit me to...
No, I won't permit you. There isn't time. Now, what we're going to do first, my men, is to search you for concealed arms.
Yeah, but...
And when I tell you to do a thing, don't start off gabbling. Just do it.
Oh.
Brisk. You see? Stand there. Turn around. That's it. Now put your hands up over your head. Why, you haven't even got a pistol pocket in the back of your breeches. You are an amateur.
Shut up now.
Go on, now take off your coat and roll up your sleeves. Go on.
Oh, please don't point that gun at me.
Shut up. Now start packing all this as I tell you. That's it. Now take those rolls of sovereigns and push them in among the shirts in this bag.
Among the shirts.
Yes. Go on, that's right. That's the idea. Now some in here. Yes, but shove them in tight.
Oh, yes.
That's the idea. Now on the other side.
Yes, this
tight. Yes. Well, spread them about more to distribute the weight. That's better. Now, we'll begin on the large portmanteau. Now put those rolls of notes on the table into the socks.
Into the socks.
Good.
Why? There must be thousands and thousands of pounds here.
Yeah, I should say there is. A little over 40,000.
Oh.
You know, you waste your time in burglary. You should do one of two things. Either you should forge or you should embezzle.
What?
For my own part, I embezzle.
You embezzle?
Yes, I embezzle. Oh. What do you think a man could be doing with all this gold but that? Ah, listen, 3 o'clock. Well, it's time for us to be moving. Come on, turn around. Now stoop a bit. That's the idea. Now we'll hump this portmanteau up onto your back.
Ooh.
That's it. That's the idea. Now steady now, Lynn, with this piece of cord. That's it. Now you'll be able to carry the other bag. I'll take the hat box.
Oh, which way?
Which way? Down the stairs and turn left into the conservatory. Now go on, get a move on. And remember, I'm just behind you with a pistol. Here, stop. Put them down. That's the idea.
I was asleep in my little room, and I know more.
Well, there's no need for you to incriminate yourself. Aha, good. Here's Barrow.
Bingham. Well, who's this?
Only a little philanthropic do of mine. A burglar, trying to reform. Caught him under my bed just now. Oh, he's all right. He'll be useful to carry some of our things.
Well, we don't want anybody else, let alone a half-witted village idiot. Besides, there may be others.
Oh, no, he's quite alone. There's not a gang in the world but own him.
You see, Mr.
Now, don't start talking, for goodness sake. Come on, heave up that portmanteau.
Oh, I'll take this one. Quietly, now.
That's the idea. Now, wait a minute. I'll just close this door. I don't want anybody to notice. All right, you go ahead a bit, Maddo. I'll come along behind.
There's that door with the boat.
Put the portmanteau in the boat. Go on, Parson. Wade in. A little water won't hurt you.
Weekend, Buana.
Carolyn. Very heavy.
Yes, Buana.
Carolyn. Good. Now then, burglar. In you come.
Explanation. I can assure you.
Shut up.
Oh.
Get hold of his hair, Marrow. Come on, lend a hand, Abdul.
Now, Abdul. Rope.
Yes, what?
Up alongside. Now, get up that ladder, scoundrel. Go on.
This rope thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll shoot you if you don't do as you're told. Get up the ladder.
Scoundrel, out. Get that crew of yours moving. We set sail at once. Army burglar. You brought him up?
Yes, here he is, Buana. Him say he want to die.
Well, you certainly do look a wreck. What have you been doing?
Oh, cockroaches everywhere. Oh, it smells terrible down that hole.
Dear me, usually travel first class, eh? You are a mess, no mistake. Now, look here. You play cribbage or euchre?
A little, but I'm better at whist.
Whist. All right, you'll play three-handed whist.
Yeah, you wouldn't pass so easily as a curate now, you know. On my soul, Matter, he looks like a ruffian, doesn't he, eh? Nasty lot the crew are, aren't they? I don't envy you. Half an hour down there foddered with them would be quite enough for me, and you've been down there 2 days.
Terrible, sir. Terrible.
I never saw such a collection as you've got, Matter. Lascars, Chinamen, all kinds. Not a Christian among them.
A real skull and crossbones crew they are. Well, Abdul's a Christian, I believe. Is it Christians you want?
No. One's enough. Haven't we got the curate here? What did you do with the collection last Sunday, eh? Yes, talking about collections, you know, I used to be a church warden at St. Agatha's, near the gate on sea. I can scarcely believe it myself.
Mr. Bingham, were you really?
I was indeed. I didn't go around dressed up as like a parson. I really was a bank manager and a church warden. Probably the most respected figure in Hithergate on sea. I wonder what they're saying about me now.
You don't mean it.
And Mr. Marrow, my good burglar, is, or rather I should say was, a solicitor. The best solicitor in Hithergate-on-Sea. Everyone respected him. Second to me, he was the most respected and trusted man in the place. I came first, naturally, because I was not only the bank manager, but also a church warden at St. Agatha's.
Oh, my God.
It's your lead, Marrow. Diamonds are trumps, I thought.
Where we are.
Oi, you. Come up here, scoundrel.
Yes, Mr. Bingham. Coming. Yes, Mr. Bingham.
Climb down that ladder into the boat.
What? Where are we going?
Oh, enough to turn the heart of a stone, isn't he, eh?
Poor little misery.
You see that island over there?
Yes.
That's it.
What? How?
You'll see.
Oh, will you listen? If this is to be the last opportunity, in a few sentences, I can explain. I could convince you, I'm certain.
My position under your bed.
No, please listen. Please.
Same old start. Same old story. Good old burglar.
I'm really not a burglar.
No, and you never will be. Get down that ladder into the boat. Scoundrel?
Yes?
The island we're approaching has no name, apparently. At least, there's none on the chart. It is one of the Grenadines, one of the Windward Islands. Yonder, Dim and Blue are others of the Grenadines, but the majority of them are out of sight. I've often wondered what these islands are for, but now you see I'm wiser. This one, at least, is for you.
Oh, really, Mr. Bingham? You're not going to land here?
Sooner or later, some simple native will come along and take you off. You can say what you like about us then. Abuse us if you like. We shan't care one solitary grenadine. And here is half a sovereign's worth of silver. Now, don't waste that in foolish dissipation when you return to civilization. Properly used, it may give you a fresh start in life. And do not... Here, don't beat your Abdul. He can wait.
If you have
my ankle. I'm sorry, but I must ask you to carry a bundle of food.
But, no,
it's all right. It's not deep. Hardly up to your waist. You'll find a tin opener at the bottom of the bundle. I saw them put it in.
Mr. Bingham, that night in your bedroom...
No, there's no time for that.
But he doesn't...
No, I'm not going to listen. Overboard you go. Goodbye, burglar. Choose another profession.
Reginald Martin, and I have here a letter I received the other day from England. To Reginald Martin, Esquire, 4 Longcroft Street, Kingston, Jamaica.
My dear Mr. Martin, I do not know how I can possibly thank you for all your kindness to a total stranger. Had it not been for your generous assistance, I could certainly never have returned in time for the resumption of my scholastic duties. And my few minutes of reckless folly would perhaps have proved my ruin. As it is, I am entangled in a tissue of lies and evasions of the most complicated sort to account for my sunburnt appearance and my whereabouts. The truth I dare not tell, for there is not the slightest doubt that I have connived at and abetted and aided a felony. Bingham and Marrow were, just as they said, the bank manager and solicitor at Hithergate-on-Sea, and have left a trail of ruin and misery behind them. The worst of it is, my aunt does not seem altogether to believe a guarded statement I have made her, practically, of what actually happened. She suspects me of some discreditable adventure, but says she would forgive me if I told her everything. I have told her more than everything, and still she is not satisfied. If, when you write, you could write on 2 sheets so that I could show her one, and on that one you could show clearly that I really was in Jamaica this summer and had come there by being removed from a ship, it would be a great service to me. It would certainly add to the load of my obligation to you, a load I fear I can never fully repay. Although, if gratitude...
So on and so forth. And at the end he requests that I will burn the letter, which of course I will. Quaint little creature. That breach with his aunt was not of long duration. The old lady had forgiven him before she died. Glad I was able to help him and get him home and all that. He would never have been able to on his own.
You have just heard An Unusual Tale, Mr. Ledbetter's Vacation, by H.G. Wells. The radio adaptation was by Lance Sieveking, and the program was produced and transcribed by Martin C. Webster in the London studios of the BBC. During the past few months, we have brought you the best of BBC, the top programs of the British Broadcasting Corporation. Today's program was the last in the current series of NBC's Showcase. This is Gene Hamilton saying thank you for listening. Enjoy music in the French manner on Stars from Paris, tonight over most NBC radio stations.